Bitch. One of the nice things about having been guest of honor is that normally you don't have to go through it all again. The speech is done, you sit back there, you're part of history, you let some other old-timer do the work. It's come to that ugly part of the evening now. The moment of truth, the long, drawn-out moment of truth. We're really going to give out the Yugos now. I'm not going to do it, though. Excuse me. Suggestion here, let's skip it and mail them. They're heavy. Isaac Asimov is going to hand these things out. What can I say about Isaac Asimov? What should I say about Isaac Asimov? Mere maliciousness fails me. I could tell you about his wit, his grace, his charm, his high tenor voice, his way with the women, his prolificacy. I could read you selected passages from Asimov's Guide to the Bible. I could outline the plot of the novel with which he thinks he's going to win next year's Hugo. He's going to be surprised. I haven't read the novel, really, but I thought up the basic idea for it. Seriously, we were sitting around at a convention in New York last January called the MondoCon, and Lester Del Rey and I were on a panel, and for some reason, which I don't fully comprehend, I found myself suggesting the worst of all possible ideas for a science fiction story, just for the fun of it. I said, how about a story about plutonium-189? For those three or four of you who have a scientific education, you'd know that plutonium-189 is a very difficult concept to swallow indeed. And Isaac, who was sitting in front of me when I tossed off this thing about plutonium-189, said, right on, baby, I'm going to do it. Or words to that effect. And he said he was going to do it for me, as a matter of fact, for a collection I was editing. And some months later, he called me in his best sheepish tone and said, you know that plutonium-189 story? Well, it's turning into a novel, and I'm afraid I can't let you have it for your collection, so I've written another awful story, and you can have that instead. And he had indeed, and I did indeed purchase it, and it's really not all that bad, even for Isaac. But now he's actually gone ahead and written this plutonium-189 thing. I've seen the manuscript. I've seen the dedication. It's dedicated to me. It's a two-page dedication. The only man who gets paid by the word for his dedications is... And as I recall the dedication, it's all about what an ignorant bastard that Silverberg is if he thinks there's such a thing as plutonium-189. Anyway, that's Isaac's new novel, and next year at this time, boy, will he be sweating. But now the good doctor is going to come up here and hand out these silver spaceships to a lot of other people. Isaac?
Ladies and gentlemen, I think it is a dreadful indictment of the intellectual standards of science fiction that so mediocre an intelligence as Robert Silverberg is one of our leading luminaries. It was indeed Silverberg who mentioned my fine tenor voice, something I was going to keep a secret, and I think it only fair to utilize it. I have here a limerick which I'm going to sing. It goes, there was a young lady named Marion who did bump and did grind and did carry on. The result of her pains were ill-gotten gains, which she promptly donated to Clarion. I would like everyone to remember that after Bob Silverberg had sweated for 2 hours, the biggest laugh of the evening came 10 seconds after I stood up. But enough of the sad stuff. We now have sadder stuff, all of which will be photographed and kept for posterity by a delightful, egg-headed fellow whom I would like to call to your attention. For more conventions than I care to think of, he has wandered around while all the rest of us were having fun lecherously, hugging his camera to his bosom, carrying it from door to door, kissing it when no one was looking, taking picture after picture after picture for no discernible profit whatever, at a great cost, none other than J.K. Klein, who has never been introduced before. J.K.! Well, we come to the first category, immediately after the typeface, for fan writer. I myself, like Will Rogers, have never met a man I did not like. There are four people, all critics, whom I do not like. I have never met one of them in person, which is my way of saying that third place winner was none other than Ted Pauls. Second place winner was Terry Carr. And in first place, and winning the award, was Richard Geis. Mr. Geis is not here. Bruce Pels will accept it in all the magnificence of his mustache and beard. Bruce. We pass on to the category of fan artist. In third place, William Rotzler. In second place, Tim Kirk, and in first place, Alicia Austin. Who will accept it herself?
Thank you. I can't think of anything else to say except thank you very much.
Third category is that of fanzine, which, as near as I can understand, is a term used because those people who write limericks need something to rhyme with benzene. In third place, energumen Michael and Susan Glickstone. In second place, science fiction review Richard Geis. And in first place, Locus.
Cool. Give them one and then all about the other one.
Yeah. For Dina and Charlie Brown. You will notice, ladies and gentlemen, that it was for Dina and Charles Brown. We follow the usual practice of women first in all cases. Therefore, it's Dina and Charles. In this day, however, of man's liberation movement, we go further, and we have prepared a great additional expense, another one for Charles and Dina Brown. Slightly good mention in Locus, Charlie, huh? Now for a tricky one. Some of you perhaps were at the Nebula award, banquet. In the category of drama, there is no award. I repeat, no award. So far, we have been dealing with fanish activities in which I have no personal interest, you understand. Hugos may come, Hugos may go, I remain indifferent. We approach, however, the field of professionaldom. And you may wonder why it was that Robert Silverberg, renowned for his wit and malice, who was not ashamed to poke fun at me, even though I brought my beautiful daughter for protection, here, right here on my left. A beautiful daughter, I might say, upon whom Robert Silverberg has, for lo these many years, been casting lecherous eyes. Every year he calls me up to say, how old is she this year? You will wonder why it isn't he that's giving out the award. By a convention as old as the conventions, a nominee does not hand out awards. Silverberg can hardly ever hand out awards. More Hugos have been handed out by me than by anyone else in science fiction, despite the fact that I am well known to be science fiction's greatest writer. Oh, I don't say so. It's common knowledge. We go on to the category of professional magazine, and in third place, we have Amazing Stories. In second place, Analog. And in first place, complete with Asimov's science column, Fantasy and Science Fiction. Where's that? There's that Furman. Keep those issues going. I've got lots of columns. Professional artist. In third place is Jack Gaughan. In second place, Frank Kelly Fries. And in first place, Leo and Diane Dillon. The award will be accepted by Terry Carr. Diane and Leo Dillon. Oh, don't walk away. Leo and Diane Dillon. And now the plot begins to thicken as we cut closer to the bone. For we have to decide on short story. In third place, Gordon Dixon's Jean Dupers. Or Jean Dupré. In second place, R.A. Lafferty continued on Next Rock. And in first place, Theodore Sturgeon's Slow Sculpture. For novella, in third place, Harlan Ellison. The Region Between. In second place, Clifford Simak, The Thing in the Stone. And in first place, Fritz Leiber's Elmet in Lankmar. Accepted by Ed Furman. The editor of the magazine complete with science column by Asimov, in which the story appeared. Ed, you'll have golden fingers. We have but one category left. In third place for novel is Robert Silverberg, Tower of Glass. In second place, Paul Anderson, Toe Zero. And with Hatred, in first place, the least unexpected award in recent history, Larry Niven's Ringworld.
Thank you very much. I've promised my wife I was going to give up smoking right after this convention, but I knew what I'd be doing all during this dinner, and it's smoking.
We have here another funny little thing. A deflated Yugo. It says, Isaac Asimov. He's got a couple of Yugos, but they were made up for the occasion. This one was too. Isaac Asimov, awards presenter. Norris Khan, 29th World Science Fiction Convention, 1971. And it really depresses me no end to hand this thing to Isaac Asimov.
The last word is mine. I, too, have a plaque, a consolation Hugo. It says to Robert Silverberg, Toastmaster, Norris Khan, 29th World Science Fiction Convention, 1971. Bob, wear it in good health.
That just about does it. We have a few final announcements. Registration for the 1969 St. Louis Con will be held in the Exeter Room. Torcon 2, the 1973 World Con, which, while we all slumbered, was apparently chosen, to the best of my knowledge, although I hear the Dallas people are demanding a recount. Registration for the 1973 World Con will be open at 11 o'clock a.m. tomorrow. And we'll go on at 2 o'clock p.m. somewhere in the 29 floors of this building. I haven't been told where, but if you look hard, you may find it. Well, that concludes our 29th annual banquet on a note of gaiety. And as you go forth to your nightly revels, I hope you will feel enlightened, amused, well-fed, perspired. I hope you will think only kindly thoughts for the good doctor who does his best. Good night. That's it. Good night.